From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. General Motors is shutting down production at 5 plants across North America this year, leaving thousands of workers without jobs. These real-world events are mirrored in the Atlanta production of Skeleton Crew. It's a story of a tight-knit group of workers at the only auto-stamping plant left in Detroit. And it takes place during the 2008 recession, when workers are dealing with layoffs and an uncertain future.
What is life at a copy center? Day in, day out, running paper through these simple machines. For what? It ain't got the same kind of pride this work got. Here, I'm building something important.
Skeleton Crew runs now through March 10th at Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company. And Jamil Jude is joining us in the studio. He's director and the new artistic director for the theater. Jamil, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Can you give us a little bit of a summary of the play, like what kind of things these characters are grappling with?
Well, we have these four characters who are facing the impending closing. We have Reggie, who's a middle manager, sworn to secrecy by management. He has to protect the interests of the company, but wants to also protect the interests of his employees, people he's been working with on the line, because he's grown up through the ranks for about a decade. One of those women are Faye. Faye has been working at the company for 29 years, and if she could just make it to 30 years, that retirement package would look so much better. Also, Dez, a young man who has a track towards his dreams and just needs a little bit more overtime to get there, and he's finally joined with a woman named Shanita, who's pregnant in the clip that you just played. Shanita talks about how much pride she has. She's a second-generation factory worker, and this is the work that she loves to do. But an impending closing could put her future and her child's future in jeopardy. So this play really grapples with those real life circumstances when we hear those big headlines of plant closing and government shutdowns. We often think about policy, but we often forget about the people, the real people whose lives are going to be affected by not receiving a check or having to be forced into retirement or closing of a lifestyle. So I'm really excited by getting an opportunity to really explore these deep themes that people are dealing with on a daily basis.
And this is a multi-generational, multi-layered in the hierarchy group of people. And it's so much about their identity as auto workers. What did that mean, especially for the African-American characters in the play?
Well, I mean, all the characters are African-American. And what it really says is that the value of hard work. You know, I think there has been a legacy of Black people in depiction of work and what work ethic really means. But for these Detroiters, their pride is found in what they do, their ability to create something with their hands, especially for these people in this auto facility. That's their pride and joy. So to strip somebody of the thing that they do, of the thing that gives them pride, of the thing that brings them a livelihood, really is stripping people from what we want to believe as Americans is a fundamental right, a right to work, a right to make a living, a right to do the things that we want to do. And when you strip people of that, what's left? The soul. And if you tamper with it, or if you make it harder for people to achieve the American dream, you're really starting to take their soul away from them as well.
And this play, Skeleton Crew, it's part of playwright Dominique Morisseau's Detroit cycle. You know, she does a trilogy, a series of three plays set in the city. So how about the identity of Detroit? How does it help us understand that?
Well, you know, Dominique loves her city. I think she thinks of each play as a little bit of a love song to the city. And what the cycle allows us to do, I think when we think Detroit, two things probably come to mind. One, we think about the love and the glory of Motown, right? We think of the sound. We think of that Motown sound. And I think here in contemporary times, we think about the destruction and degradation of the city. I think we think of what happened to Detroit post-2008. And I think what Dominique has tried to do, she's trying to give us a wider entree into the city. She really wants to show us the city at different times in its life. Paradise Blue is set in the 1940s, and that's the first play. Detroit 67, that True Colors presented back in 2015, talks about the height of it, but also when the city was literally on fire,
right, burning.
Because of the race riots. And here we have another pivotal moment, another revolutionary moment here in 2008. What she really wants to do is say, yes, all of these headlines are about the city, but really, let's just focus on the people who are there, who were there, who are still there. And I'm excited. I don't think she's done. I think she's going to come out with another play that's going to give us a larger insight into 2020 and 2021 Detroit, so we can really get this picture, this real panoramic picture of what it means to be Detroit, because I think so many of us as Americans misunderstand that city.
Yeah, it has a huge emotional sense, or let's say reputation, you know, as the heart, this engine that churned out American cars. So in these conversations that you had with the actors playing Dez, Shanita, Faye, and Reggie, what kind of conversations did you have with them about taking on these identities?
Well, one thing that we wanted to do, we always are trying to find authenticity as actors and as artists in the room. We always search for what we call the capital T truth. What's that universal truth about these characters that we can tap into as performers in Atlanta, although we aren't from Detroit? But what are the things? Love, pride, respect for self, respect for work. But we also wanted to make sure that we brought in, because this play is so Detroit specific, we wanted to bring in people and have in, around the creative process, Detroiters. So our assistant director, Danye Brown, is a born and raised West Sider from Detroit. She's an amazing artist, and she's been able to help us with some of the nuances of the people, so we can really bring that truth and authenticity. And I believe that it's shining through. And when your listeners come and check out the show, especially those from the D, they'll have to let me know if we've
found did you get it right?
If we got it right. And I think that's the essence. That's the soil of the people. People who have grit and determination. Faye has a monologue about growing up on the east side of Detroit and seeing houses burn down on Devil's Night in 1967 and being confronted with this idea of, will you wither away or will you stand tall? So we talk a lot about what does it mean for all of these characters in the face of oppression, in the face of a crisis, how do they choose to stand tall, stand with one another? But also there are moments of opposition, and how do you stand against one another in the moment of a crisis?
That's Jamil Jude. He's the director of Skeleton Crew. It's open now and at Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater. So this decision that they're faced with, you know, how to stand tall, as you said, but there's also a central question there. What would you sacrifice to survive in some way? So what did you ask yourself and them while putting together the production?
Well, you know, I think I happened to be working on a play about Gordon Parks right before I went to
the photographer, Gordon Parks.
The photographer and activist and film director and music composer and writer. He wrote so many autobiographies about his life. But one of the things in working on that play, we talked about artistic sacrifice. And I think that's also something that's been really huge for us in this room as we talk about, well, what does it mean to be an artist, to sacrifice our time? I can't tell you how many hours I've spent in a dark theater watching people play make-believe, right? But also, what does that mean for our families? Are we able to be there as present as we want to for our families? So in the context of this room, people are putting their bodies on the line. Several of the characters are scarred up, either because of incidents at the facility or things that have happened in their lives. People are working long hours. They're tired. What happens to your feet and your body as you've been working these things? So what are you willing to sacrifice just for a sense of pride? Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? What do you have to sacrifice for those that you love? What I love about building ensemble are those conversations that you get to have. Not only are we putting on this play, but we're creating a family inside the rehearsal hall. So what can we sacrifice for one another as we learn lines or as we make a mistake? How do we support and lift each other up? When you get an opportunity to work on a show with people grappling these things, it makes you value the work of the everyday person in ways in which I feel like we sometimes get detached. We are so me, 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 and what do I have to give up? We forget about what the other person has to give up to be in the room with us. And this play has really taught me more to think broadly about other people's sacrifices as well. Mm.
And this is, especially when you say blue-collar workers, this is this big swath of human beings without looking at the individuals necessarily. And the production actually deals with the play. Inside the play is collective bargaining, the fear of losing one's livelihood. And we saw unions stepping forward to advocate for workers during the recent government shutdown. Skeleton Crew, of course, written long before that. But do you think it speaks to current events through that parallel?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my uncle was affected by the government shutdown. He works at TSA. He's one of the managers at TSA. And to think about what he had to give up in order to go to work just so that we could travel safely. And those are the things that, again, I feel like while working on the show, I've been reminded in a really sincere way that in order for us to have our conveniences, there are several people who have to get to work so much earlier than us, who are leaving their kids early in the morning, who are taking the bus maybe, who are driving themselves, who are working a 12-hour shift only to go home and sleep for a few hours just to work another shift. We forget about those people, and this play reminds us not to. This play reminds us the power of advocacy. This play reminds us why unionization was so important, why the UAW was so strong, why the UAW was so integral to Detroit becoming the city that drove the country. I don't want to ever forget how important the labor union has been in building this country, and I don't want to forget on whose backs our country was built on. And especially as we move forward, I think we get further and further away from the truth of that. And any opportunity that we get to be reminded of who is sacrificing themselves in order for the greater good. Oftentimes that's women, oftentimes that's women of color. And this play helps that Dominique Mauriceau does a really good job of putting these stories in front of us in a way that it is not didactic, it is not confrontational, it is real, it is honest, and that's the best type of theater.
Mm. And your own work, how about that? You are recently the new artistic director of the theater, taking over for Kenny Leon. It's a big mantle to take on. How did he prepare you to take on this role?
What Kenny's always done a really good job of, and he may not admit to it, is that he's done a really good job of being a mentor. Kenny shies away at it and says, you know, it's too much responsibility to be somebody's mentor. But what he does is he makes himself available. I met Kenny back in 2008, 2009. And at that time, I was an intern and I was tasked with following him around. And he was gruff. If you ever met Kenny, he can be gruff a little bit, too. And I mentioned that I was from Tallahassee, Florida, and his smile opened up.
Kenny he's from Florida, isn't he?
He's from Tallahassee. Yeah. He was born in Tallahassee and raised in southern Florida. And that changed. And I started talking to him because at that time, I had not met a professional black male director in my life. So I talked to him about the things that I was interested in. At that time, I fashioned myself more as a playwright, but I had a deep interest in telling story. And he gave me his number and he said, hey, you know, I don't really know about being a mentor because I asked him. He said, but here's my number. Use it. And to his credit, every time I called, every time I text, he would respond back. Even when I forgot to call or text, he would shoot me a text and say, hey, just checking in on you. And I think that's the way he's prepared me. He's taught me that no matter where you go, you have to be your authentic self. And when you're there, share your light with as many people as possible. I've tried to do that and inviting as many people into the rehearsal hall just to watch and observe. So I'm really excited that Kenny's been able to just bless me in that way.
Well, Jamil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jamil Jude, he is the director of Skeleton Crew, and the production is open now at Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater and runs through March 10th. We're going to keep the drama going today. Up next, Spelman College presents a new adaptation of Romeo and Juliet set in modern-day Atlanta. That's when On Second Thought continues.